Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 24th November 2024, Sunday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from our this book, the Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at page 100, which is section 3.2 of lesson 18. Then as usual, let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo, Namo Amitofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Yao Sifo, Namo Yao Sifo, Namo Yao Sifo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Dishang Wang Pusa, Namo Dishang Wang Pusa, Namo Dishang Wang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava, Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami, Adina dana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Padang Pajami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the dainties of Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalesu Atraha Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savran Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savran Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savran Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Didang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we'll continue from where we shall stop. Page 100, section 3.2. There was another question. Question 2. How to overcome or how to come out of the wrong path when we are cultivating? So this question 2, I think, is very important. Many people don't understand what cultivation is. So here the question is, where we are on the wrong path during cultivation, we are having wrong views. How can we come out of it? So what happens is, most of the time, cultivators of the way may not understand what the true Buddha's teaching or Buddha Dhamma is. Basically, if you don't have good teacher or those people who teach you or guide you, who have the understanding, the clear understanding to explain to you, it's very easy to debate and go wrong. Because as I've explained before, this Buddhist teaching is not easy to understand. And not many can really penetrate the teaching and develop the understanding. So when it comes to understanding the teaching, we need to really have in-depth, clear understanding. For the Buddha is after a long period of cultivation. That is a natural consequence of his cultivation and perfection that he discovered his famous teaching. He summarized all his understanding and cultivation into just four noble truths. And these are noble truths that can allow one to become noble ones or enlightened one. So this first part of the teaching, the provisional teaching, is very important. Where it's about understanding life, the secret of life, the conditioned world that living beings are born into. What is this world? And how does it come about? And what are the boundary conditions that governs the arising of this existential world, or what we call samsara? Then we can also call it life, existence. Of course, we will have different people labeling it differently. But as we go through life, we come to understand the vastness of our planets, our universe, our solar system, our even Milky Way, then our so-called world system. And the universe is very extensive. There are billions and billions and billions of star systems within each and every of this Milky Way. Some bigger, some smaller. Then there are vast distance of empty space between the universe. Then extending to the various civilizations that exist within the planets, or civilization that can have the causes and conditions to evolve and develop all this. So we will look at the whole spectrum of life, of existence, of the whole entire universe. That's why this teaching is very unique, very comprehensive. So we are not talking about just our life on the planet itself, our planet Mother Earth. We are talking about the whole of existence. The whole of existence covering all of life manifestation, especially the aspect of consciousness. Because consciousness is the basis of life and existence. And you understand consciousness, you understand life. That's why meditation is about going into life, going into the understanding of what consciousness is. What is it like for us to be conscious? As a conscious being, if we are incapable of consciousness, we are incapable of life, of living. So that aspect, many people don't understand. In fact, the Buddha also didn't go in much, where he is more interested in the provisional teaching, the Four Noble Truths, that can transform living being and explain to you the secret of life, so that you can understand life. you can be free from suffering. So this is for Noble Truth. The provisional teaching is the essence of the Buddha's basic teaching, provisional teaching. If you understand this teaching, you will understand life and you will know how to live life. Then you will know how to transform yourself into a beautiful being. Then life becomes meaningful, beautiful. Yeah. Then you can experience all of the pristine wonders and beauties of life that is capable for those who have that wisdom and understanding. So basically, the Buddha realized this profound teaching and summarized it into the Four Noble Truths. So what he is trying to tell you is, he said our universe is a conditioned world governed by the Panchaniyamas, the five universal order of nature. And that is to really simplify things and make things easier to approach and learn or comprehend. So if we understand that there are these Panchaniyama, the five universal law that governs life and existence, that is easy. The first two laws is scientific law, Uttuniyama and Bijaniyama. You as a human being need not know too much. You know enough for you to understand basic thing is good enough. But the more important and more critical on the next three, spiritual law that governs life and existence. Yeah. He said the most important of the spiritual law is the law of karma, moral causation. That's why he used this word. He said, it is cetana that I call karma. Cetana means mental intention. So because we are a conscious being, we are capable of consciousness, becoming conscious, then from there we start to perceive. Then when we start to perceive, we start to develop all of our views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. That's why we will develop so-called wrong view, the egoic mind, that will condition us to act differently. We will have mental intention and choice within each and every conscious moment that we act. We may act with wrong view, delusion. What are wrong view? What are delusion? Delusion mainly arises from sakkayadity, self-delusion, believing that this form of mind, or so-called human being or others, is a permanent, unchanging entity, and this is what we are. So we act from there, then we develop what we call a personality to act with selfishness. That's how the evil roots of greed, selfishness, possessiveness, craving, desire, last or manifest comes to be. Then when things don't go your way, you cannot get what you want. Your expectations in life are not met. What happens is you become emotional, you become angry, fearful, you worry. So getting angry, getting violent, developing envy and jealousy are the negative craving, the negative emotion that living being manifests. And this is what that entangles life, greed and hatred, that delusion. The last one is fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation manifesting from that wrong view or sakkayadity. So when you manifest them, means you have wrong view, you are deluded. That's why the moral causation part, mental intention, born of this wrong view, trigger off the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and make living being evil. That's why it's called the three evil root of all evil. From there, it manifests and make you evil, cause your karmic downfall. And this is the secret of life. When you understand the law of karma, you will know how to come out of it. You will know how to develop the wisdom and the understanding not to go that way, not to entangle yourself that way. And the way to do it is to follow the teaching, the advice of the Buddha, the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why this teaching is very unique, very beautiful. That is just the law of karma. So what basically is the law of karma? The Buddha said it's a moral causation, a nature's law. Means you reap what you sow. You do good, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You do evil, you reap the fruit of evil. That's why you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. Then you plant the seed of evil, you become evil. You cause your karmic negativity, that trigger of the karmic repercussion or karmic friction that will condition your suffering or misery or affliction. So knowing this, we have to understand the nature's law that explain the law of karma very well. The Buddha realized it. That's why he expounded the five daily contemplation for living being to develop the wisdom not to entangle themselves with the first number two reality. The first three is we are this body and mind of ours. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Because this physical body is not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's subject to nature's law. It goes the way of nature. That's why it's of the nature to age, to go through aging. Then it's of the nature to get sick, injury, and finally die. For it has not gone beyond its nature's condition. Then the fourth reality is, he said, everything we believe we own, we can possess, we can hold on to dearly, they are in fact not what you think. Then he said, separation from your loved one, from your prized possession, from the things that you hold on to dearly, from everything that you perceive to be real, that you can own, can possess, can have. All these, they are dependent, originating, condition, arising, phenomena, no reality. Even this very body of ours that goes the way of nature is not a permanent, unchanging entity. So how can you own it? That's why he has a famous saying, is it? My wealth, my child, or my son, my possession. This only the fools lament, the foolish one with delusion lament. For that very body is also impermanent, doesn't belong to him. Then wherein son, wherein wealth, and other possession? You can't even own your own physical body. How can you own others and anything else? And this wisdom is very powerful. That's why separation can trigger off a lot of suffering. Separation can come in many forms. It can also come via death, disease, sickness, nature's disaster, then relationship. That's why we have a lot of divorce cases. Then misunderstanding that trigger of separation. Then causes and condition when it manifests. Your possession, your career, your wealth, everything like suddenly wipe off. And through nature's condition, like old age, sickness and death, your loved one can separate from you. So separation is a reality. When the time comes, you have to see this clearly with wisdom, with the Dhamma understanding, that it will not afflict you, it will not cause you suffering. Most people suffer and lament because of separation from their loved one, their wealth, their possession, the thing that they own to, they hold on to dearly, not knowing that they are not a permanent and changing entity that can cling on to all this and grasp on to all this. Yeah. Then finally, the fifth daily contemplation is that you must also contemplate. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. That's why when you understand this, if your entire life or existence is dependent almost entirely on karma, what must you do? You have to take care of karma, otherwise you suffer. You become afflicted, you become miserable. And this is the secret of life. So when you understand this secret, you know what are the reality or causes and conditions that can trigger suffering under the first noble truth. That's why the Buddha proclaimed this truth. He said under the first noble truth, there are eight realities of condition within nature that can cause suffering when you don't have the Dhamma understanding. So he proclaimed it. He said basically birth is a reality. Always sickness and death is a reality. Separation from loved one is a reality. When things don't go your way, when you are with people whom you don't like. In short, he said, the five aggregates of grasping, the grasping aggregate, means this five aggregate of grasping, the reason why it grabs it, because it has wrong view. It cling, it hold, thinking that it's real, thinking that it belongs to them. So he said, when you couldn't understand this eight reality with the Dhamma taught by the Buddha, then it becomes suffering, because when you grasp and cling, it triggers off suffering. That's why in the final summary, is it is due to one's sakkaya ditti, self-delusion, that conditions the living beings to grasp and cling onto the five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. So the first seven summarized as the eight reality. So this in reality, they are common reality that exists within life, nature and existence. Not only particular to you or the individual, no. If you go through life long enough, you will encounter them. And when you encounter them without the Dhamma understanding, you will be afflicted, you will suffer, you will become miserable. And this is basically what the teaching is. Then the Buddha didn't stop there, is it? He even go to the extent of explaining to you the cause behind suffering. He said all this suffering that you trigger off under the first noble truth reality, they arise through sakkaya ditti, self-delusion. that condition you to crave, to grasp, to cling. So craving, born of sakkarati, self-delusion, is the cause of suffering. So if you know what suffering is and the cause behind, you can manage your life better. You can develop the understanding to reverse all this so that you can change your life for the better. So that you will not entangle yourself to delusion, to ignorance anymore. So that suffering need not be. That's why the third noble truth is suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, the unconditioned Nibbana can be realized if you have the Dhamma understanding. And he not only explained to you that enlightenment in the here and the now is possible, he even teach you how to do it. So under the fourth noble truth, he said there is a path, namely the noble eightfold path. You cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And that is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That is the one that can bring about enlightenment, transforming your life for the better, and make you noble ones or enlightened ones that have all the noble qualities. And this is what basically his teaching is all about. So you have teachers and guides that have this type of understanding, then they can teach you, they can guide you, then you will not go wrong. Or even if you have gone wrong before you come to know the teaching, you can come out of it. Yeah. So now go back to the question. When we are on the wrong path, we are having wrong view. How can we come out of it? So now it's very obvious. After I explain to you the Buddha's understanding and his essence of his teaching, you should be able to know how to come out of it. Means the law of karma that governs life and existence is so powerful. So if you know that born of sakkarati, self-delusion, it conditions the evil root that make you evil and cause your coming downfall, means you are on the wrong path and you don't know how to cultivate because you don't know the four noble truth and its three turning, especially the fourth noble truth, which is the path out of suffering that will bring about the cessation of all suffering. That's why here I mentioned, I answer, I say, this is a very good question. Now you can understand the great wisdom of Lord Buddha in teaching us how to make sure that we won't have wrong view and follow the wrong path. We are following his advice to sincerely cultivate the below important cultivation and aspiration. So in the teaching is taught very clearly the steps that one can take to actually develop the cultivation. That's why the Buddhist cultivation always start with puja, the pre-puja, then the post-puja, what we call the other related devotional practices. They are incorporated by the Buddha to help you progress along the path of Dhamma, especially the devotional practices, pre-puja, post-puja, and the offering, the rejoicing. Then basically, it follows the simple format of taking refuge. So the first thing you have to do is to take refuge with the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. We are understanding the uniqueness of this triple gem. You know what a gemstone is, right? The most precious among the precious stone. That's why it's called a gemstone. So this Buddha Dharma and the Sangha, they are called the gemstone. You have to take refuge in them with strong faith and sincerity. We are understanding their importance. Well, according to the Buddha, there is no other safe refuge except the Triple Gem, where you can find the Four Noble Truths and its three turning to realize the enlightenment, as explained by me earlier on. So if you cannot find this Triple Gem that has the Four Noble Truths, then there is no refuge safe. So whatever people teach you to do is all their own religious belief system. And if you are not careful, some may cause you to deviate and do the wrong thing, like Angulimala and many other practitioners during the time of the Buddha before he proclaimed the teaching. There were a lot of wrong practices, born of wrong views, Sakkayaditi. So to come out of it is to first cultivate affinity with the Triple Gem, then develop understanding of the Triple Gem, like what we did just now, invocation to a Deva. We chant after that the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, so that we know who is the Buddha, what is the true Dhamma, so that we will not deviate. Then what are the Aryan Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, and what are the noble qualities that they have, the eight pair of beings, the worthy ones, worthy of respect, worthy of offering, worthy of gift and other things, then reverential salutation. And the limits, the amount of merits that accrue out of it is limitless. So all these are inside the teaching. So taking refuge to develop the affinity and understanding of what is Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha is very important. Then from there, you learn the basic teaching, the essential Dhamma, the secret of life. Then from there, you continue with your cultivation. Then after you have done that, the next part which you have to go in seriously is to make the aspiration by reciting what the Buddha has advised us after the pre-puja. Normally after your pre-puja, you have your Buddhist study or Buddhist activity. And most of the time it's in the form of Dhamma talk or Dhamma sharing or Dhamma activity or spiritual program and all those things. Then he said, by going through all this pre-puja and post-puja, you would have developed a lot of merits. So you can invoke power of merits for certain purpose that can help you or prevent you from deviating or going wrong. So he said, this chanting or recitation is very good, is it? You must chant Ipmina punyang kamina mahame bala samagamo satang samagamo ho tu yawa nivana patiya. Means you must invoke power of merits that you have cultivated and developed after deciding to go on this way, taking refuge and following the advice of the Buddha to cultivate sincerely with faith and perseverance or diligence. So this merit, when you invoke, it will enable you to avoid the foolish made up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. So when you do this, you will not deviate. But as we all understand, samsara is very extensive, so it's not easy. Even after you invoke this so-called aspiration, you must develop the faith and the sincerity and understanding so that it will manifest. Because a lot of people who may not understand, they just like the parrot, they parrot the thing, imina panyang kamina, they chant without understanding, without the sincerity. So when you chant with understanding and sincerity, means you make this aspiration wish to avoid the foolish. The next thing that you must learn is you must understand who are the foolish. And you also vow to meet with the wise and enlightened one. You must be able to recognize them. Otherwise, like the merchant, the first merchant that met Sakyamuni Buddha immediately after his enlightenment, he met him, but he cannot recognize him. And what a waste. He just walked away after talking to the Buddha. So, when you make this type of aspiration, you can include, you vow to cultivate the understanding to recognize who are the foolish and the heedless, then who are the wise and the enlightened one, so that you can recognize them. Not only meet, but recognize them. So all these are very useful, very important. So when you make this type of aspiration, it will prevent you from deviating. Then it will bring you back from all the wrong cultivation that you may have gone through or subject to in the early days. So this understanding and advice is very important. Basically, is to follow the Buddha's advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. And to do that, there are a lot of understanding involved, procedure involved. That's why taking refuge is one of the most important ones. Then after you take refuge, you develop affinity, you will satisfy the Avijja Sutta's first few steps, especially the first step. You have a lot of kayamitas. The Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, they are your real kayamitas. And it's 100% of the holy life. That's why all these are already taught and planned for cultivator of the way. So understanding this is very important. Okay, then we move on to the next part, 3.3. You reap what you sow. Then the question is, can this karma be experienced in this very life? So this question is relatively easier. Definitely, it can be it can happen in this life, but it depends on the chatena, means when you make a mental intention within the thought process. Initially, there are 7 thought moments which are very fast at the point you make that decision, that determining thought moment. When you determine, means you make the choice, means your view. When you input your so-called content of consciousness, it depends whether it falls into which of the chetana. So I explain here, I say, it depends on which chetana or determining thought moment the karma is being committed. According to the Abhidhamma teaching, there are 7 thought moments or determining thought moments or chetana or mental intention to condition karma. And if it happened during the first determining thought moment, that is only effective this life according to the Buddha if there is condition for it to arise. If there is no condition, then this karmic may not survive beyond the immediate life. Otherwise, it will cease to be. Similarly, when it happened at the seventh determining thought moment, it is only effective up to next life if there is condition for it to arise. But those that happen or arise or occurring between the second to the sixth determining thought moment, they will stay around at all times. So this one cannot be wiped off. So the answer is, it is possible to experience them even in this lifetime when there is condition. So just like how you reap the fruit of your hard work while studying and later on working in this life. So all this, if you were to have the mindfulness to be mindful of what is going on in life, then you can understand. And one more thing I want to add is, as a cultivator of the way, you will understand this very easily. I remember in the early days, when I started my cultivation, then later on, when I was very near 1989, before I connect and realize the whole teaching, my understanding starts to stabilize. Then when it starts to stabilize, before it like stabilize until no more doubt, then I realized a lot of things at that time, the moment my thought or intention manifests, immediately the causes and conditions manifest. So it is like immediate one. It keeps on showing it to you that nature's law is like that one. Oh, that one really very powerful. Until it will tell you inside, deep inside, when they just say, you don't believe? You continue with all this. Yeah, this is the power of the spiritual law, the law of karma. You reap what you sow. Immediate effect, or no? Immediately come back, or no? Then it show it to you until you must believe that this is the law. That's why in the Hokkien dialects, I like to always tell Kahimita, those who know Hokkien, you understand. Bo kao lu bo xiong xin. Ing ko, let's say ing ko. Then your understanding of this law of karma becomes so different. No? You become like very, very sure, and like you accept, not only accept it, you come to terms with it and know that this is what the law of karma is. You have to come to terms with it. It cannot be played with. You cannot play with karma. That's why the advice of the Buddha is sabba pavasa akaranam. Sabba is all. Pavasa is evil. All evil you have to avoid. Not only avoid evil. All evil. And that is for your own good. Because this karmic negativity, you cannot play a fool with it. Wherever there is condition, it will just manifest. It's part of nature's law. Even the Buddha himself, when he was in his last birth, he also had to go through all those karmic friction of what he did in the past, like the Chincha incident, and also when Devadatta was trying or attempting to kill him, and he was wounded by, I think, the rock particle that Devadatta caused to fall upon the Buddha. So it seems, according to the teaching, the commentaries, he say it's impossible to kill the Buddha or murder or whatever, but you can harm the Buddha. That one is possible. That's what Devadatta did. And the karmic behind is very severe. That's why he wanted to go and ask for forgiveness of Sakyamuni Buddha before he died. He wanted to repent. But he couldn't. Before he reached, it seems the earth opened up and swallowed him down. So karma is such. You cannot play a fool. And it show it to you until the word is Bokalo Bosangsina. You will never disbelieve it anymore because it is so clear. That's why you don't have to, like normal people, doubt got such thing, got karma on me. I saw a lot of people do evil, nothing happened to them. You say, like now you say, the American also, they do a lot of evil things. Then last time also, the Japanese during World War II, the German, you cannot say nothing happened to them. Then sometimes they are deluded to the extent that, hey, now you do, you commit, somebody else reap the karmic fruition. It's not like that. The law of karma, samsara, is such. The karmic consciousness that follow is the same. That condition, the karmic thing. So you cannot say that the form in mind different than another person get itself afflicted and entangled. No. It's the karmic, same karmic consciousness from the same karmic nature that go through that suffering. That's why nature is very fair. There is no such thing as you can, like, through your limited understanding, try to bypass all this. There is no way. So this part of the aspect of law of karma is very powerful, very important. And this is just the first of the three spiritual law. Then after that, the Buddha taught the second spiritual law, law of the mind. That one is for you to free your mind, develop the wisdom to liberate your mind, to free your life, to be free from suffering, to realize Nibbana, all those things. So, under Citta Niyama, the universal order of mind, this is the law that governs all of mind's activity and movement. Means the ability of the mind to cause psychic arising. Of course, the law of karma, that one through mental intention, chetina, is already there. But this law of mind operates differently. We, as a human being, we function as a human being following this mental law, which we call the paticca samuppada, law of dependent originating or origination. Everything within the conditioned world, they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So when you understand this, you penetrate this, you awaken, you realize that there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity or atta within that you can cling onto, grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I, so that all this can be mine. No such thing. And when you awaken to this, you awaken to the sakyadity or self-delusion, then you like immediately free, the evil root all gone. But there is no one to crave, no one to desire. It's just understanding. That everything just become clear, beautiful, meaningful, wonderful. Then life become like totally different. It's not what you think anymore. then that delusion, once clear, life becomes so beautiful. Then you understand, within the conditioned world, there are conditioned Dhamma. And the conditioned Dhamma recognizes relationship. Like our form and mind, our so-called human being. And that one is subject to karma. But that one is dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. So it's not you. But karmically conditioned out for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to go through the karmic process, to perfect yourself, to develop all the understanding, experiences. So all this, they will fall into place. Then you will not get yourself entangled anymore. So that is the beauty of what we call the teaching. Then not only understanding the conditioned world, conditioned Dhamma, you will also awaken and develop the profound understanding of the unconditioned through penetrating to emptiness, returning to the source, understanding the process of creation, the four stages of creation. Then from there, how everything evolves and become what it is. Then you understand the secret of life, you understand the universe, you understand how civilization come and go, how the manifestation of the conditioned world, why the universe is the way it is, so vast, so extensive. Yeah. So all this are possible and can really become really beautiful, amazingly beautiful. That's why in the Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva came to realize all this and he proclaimed, when you realize true emptiness, life becomes wonderful. Or in the famous Mandarin verse, he said, Zhen Kong Miao Yu. When you realize Zhen Kong means true emptiness, then life becomes wonderful. That's why you can get to experience and live the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then life really becomes meaningful, wonderful. Even though it's not a permanent unchanging entity, not you, not what you think, but there is such thing as life, existence. And there are so much beauty and wonders within life. So the question is, like I contemplated and shared with you, if life is so beautiful, wonderful, and amazing, then why make it ugly? Why make it miserable? Do not be deluded. If you have the Dhamma, no more delusion, then all this so-called suffering, misery, the ugliness of existence, they are not within your mind field, your mind state. These are for deluded, suffering beings. If you have the Dhamma, suffering need not be like what the Buddha mentioned. Then when you understand all this, you can keep on coming as a Bodhisattva to live life, to go through all the karmic process and develop all the extensive perfection and understanding to finally realize that ultimate nature of Sammasambuddhahutva means you are not only enlightened, you are fully enlightened. And you have developed the full perfection of virtue and wisdom. So this is how you can understand it. Okay? So go back to the notes. I'll finish already. Okay, good. Maybe with this, we can Oh, still early, 4 o'clock. Never mind. I tell you what, we will have our meditation first. We will stop here. Then we have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Then after that, we come back for our second session. So our second session, we will have more time. Then I will discuss a little bit of about the next chapter. The next chapter, which is lesson 19. We will go through it. But just briefly, so that we can develop the discussion. Just remember the four support. You have to perfect it until it becomes a part of you, until this awareness-based meditation can be developed by you whenever you want to go into it. Then when your daily mindfulness stabilizes, throughout the day you are in that state of awareness, or in that meditative state of heedfulness, ever mindful, constantly meditative. Okay, I will set the alarm and let you develop the meditation on your own. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we can continue from where we stopped just now. Like I said, before we go into the second session, we can still go through a bit of the next lesson. Next lesson is lesson 19. Okay, so lesson 19. That was 15 July 2012, about 12 years ago. Okay, so under part 1, 1.1, wisdom and life situation. This part I think is very useful. After we develop the cultivation, you will develop the understanding of life. By understanding the secret of life, so this is related to enlightenment. That's why the definition of enlightenment is of course different people define it differently, but as far as the Buddha is concerned, once you develop the wisdom not to be deluded anymore, then you can liberate your mind and become enlightened. And for this, the Buddha meant no more suffering, because there is no more ignorance, no more delusion. You no longer have problem with situation, life, etc. Means everything has been clearly understood, especially the part involving life, existence, and also who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human. So all this has been understood. As I hear, we had a topic where I put the title Wisdom and Life Situation. So I mention here, I say, with wisdom, one will always be at ease, with a lot of harmony in whatever one does. This is a very important understanding. Once you really have the Dhamma, you have developed the understanding and the awakening, then you will have a lot of harmony in life, and you are always at ease. Like, there is no such thing as a problem for you anymore, because you will never perceive things with negativity anymore. There is no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, and you will understand thing is just the way it is. Whatever arise, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. It cannot be otherwise. And this understanding is very powerful. As I say, with wisdom develop, one is always at ease with a lot of harmony in whatever one does. So this is the character or characteristics of an enlightened being. We will become different, very noble in all aspects of life and understanding of life. There is no more conflict, no more evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Everything you do is with understanding, because of the nature's law, especially the law of karma. It's not worthwhile to do all those what we call shortcut way of achieving things. No point. One will also be able to accord and flow with condition during their waking moment, as in working career environment, as a housewife doing their daily chores, as a human being going through life, etc. So this part is very true. You can check for yourself. If you can't do this, means you still have a lot to do, a long way to develop the stability of wisdom and understanding. So when you have developed them, you will realize that you will be able to like accord and flow with situation during your waking moments. Means when you are conscious of life, when you are in your daily waking moments, living life, whatever arise or happen, you will know how to accord and flow with condition. Means no disharmony, no entanglement, nothing. Most people, if they are still working, then they will get themselves involved in the work career environment. And as retiree or housewife, maybe you get yourself involved with your daily activity or chores, like preparing your daily routine, having going through your daily responsibility. A lot of people need to attend to their daily needs, especially housewife. Sometimes they need to plan for their marketing, cooking, preparing what food to cook, then buy. Then also have to plan their not apart from marketing, is their daily needs or purchase. Sometimes as you age, you need medical, pharmaceutical. Then sometimes you need to buy things to maybe help out in your household. Certain things need to be replenished. And at the same time, they got a lot of duties at home. Look at my wife, I know. She always tell me, you think so easy? Work like non-stop. You'll be busy with a lot of things. Of course, washing clothes is one of the major ones. But he always joke with me, that now I got washing machine, so washing machine, wash. Which to me is very true. Where I look back during my mother's time, she don't have the luxury of a washing machine, and she got 9 to 10 kids together with my dad, my grandmom. He got to be responsible for all our food, clothing, and daily needs, attend to all of us, whether sick or whether we got to attend school or what. everything they got to do. So that's a big responsibility, especially household. That's why I don't take your wife for granted. Yeah. They are actually in Mandarin they call 很伟大. English is called 很伟大. They are willing to sacrifice. They play a very big role. Willing to sacrifice is a correct word. And because of that, every day you think keeping the household clean, washing all the toilets, they're cleaning up the floor, changing the bed sheet, then attend to all the needs, then gardening, drying the clothes, ironing, folding them up, bringing them up to the room to put in the wardrobe and all those things. Then collect all the dirty clothing. It's a lot of work. And of course, the house maintenance also quite a lot. Then need to attend to many things, like the rubbish you need to clear. Then there are certain time where you need to do certain things. So even the daily activity of managing the household is not simple, not easy. Okay, we go back to the notes. Then the other part is, apart from housewife doing their daily chores and duty, as a human being going through life, etc. So this one we know, everybody is different. Some are kids, they go through their kids' life. Then some, they go to school, they go through their academic phase, career life. Then those working, career life. Then those retiree, maybe they will have their retired life. They do what they like to do in life. Then they travel. Then, of course, they have their activity, their friends and all things. So these are the things that you need to develop understanding. So without the Dhamma, without the awakening, it's not easy. That's why most people have problem when they go through life, when they confront the reality of life and existence. Then I put here, one will have the wisdom and ability to resolve all of life's situation and issue amicably without causing any suffering or karmic negativity to anyone. That is, with no mental negativity to deceive, cheat, lie, or take advantage of others. So this part, you need the Dhamma, the understanding, the wisdom to be able to conduct yourself in this manner. So this is more related to understanding life. So it involves the understanding of what is enlightenment, what is wisdom, and how to make use of it to understand life and to live life. Then the next sentence is, in life, the way one perceives one life situation is a life situation is very important. So this one I have emphasized already. If you don't perceive a life situation with negativity, then you have no problem. Problem arises when you perceive a life situation with fear, with worry, with anxiety, with negativity. When you crave to want things your way, which is not nature's way. So if one can perceive a life situation without any negativity, then one will always be happy and be at peace with all life situations, which is very true. Then if one does not react or stir one's mind, then one will not suffer. So this one is another very important pointer. If you do not react to sense experience or stir your mind when you perceive something through your senses, then you will not suffer. Means you will not have wrong view. You will be able to come to terms with all reality. Then to have the ability to prevent the unwholesome speech, action and thought process from arising, one needs to develop sati or mindfulness leading to heedfulness or appamada in wisdom to prevent the arising of the unwholesome mental intention that will condition one's unwholesome speech and action. So this is a cultivation of the four right effort. Then right thought, right speech and right action are very conducive for the holy life. These are noble eightfold path factor born of right view. The three doors that commits karma are chetena or mental intention, committed via action, speech and thought process. To take care of karma, one needs to be ever mindful of one's mental intention and apply the appropriate right effort and right understanding to avoid all evil, do good and purify one's mind, contemplating to develop skillful means of communication and action. We are arising only the right appropriate speeches and action that will not cause any suffering or misery to fellow living being is very important. So this is part and parcel of cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path factors, especially right thought leading to right speech, right action and right livelihood. For example, we are having love and compassion. This is how you develop it. You have love and compassion, kindness, pleasantness and gentleness of speeches, gratitude, sincerity, etc. You can add in contentment. Contentment is very important. Contentment will lead to simple life, etc. In everything we do can go a long way. Okay, I think we stop here. Okay. So we stop here. Second session, which is mainly about meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, Q&A, question regarding the Dhamma, the meditation, and how to understand the teaching and apply the teaching so that it can help you understand life and resolve all your life problems. Then you can also share about Dhamma in daily life. Okay, so now we open up. Today's topic is very good. We discuss about how to avoid wrong view, to understand cultivation. Then we also dwell a little bit on developing wisdom.
Amitabha, Bratio, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayamitas. Bratio, I wanted to share because the topic that Brother Teo talked about is a lot of karma and you reap what you sow, this Father. Part of it. Because I kind of like in the past contemplated this before and and that also heard many times Brother Teo talk about this as well. So I wanted to share this part because a lot of time because we do not have the awareness of what we are doing on a daily basis, right? Daily life. So this, you reap what you sow. I find that what you sow is more important than what you reap, you know, Bharati. Is the effect, consequence. Already happened. You cannot do anything, you know. But what you sow is when you have mindfulness, awareness, you can stop it from happening. You can have the yoniso manasikara that prompts you that you will not commit this so-called stupidity, you know, delusion. we have,
Karmic
you know,
negativity.
a lot. Yes, correct, correct. So a lot of time, we, you know, a daily life in a relationship, there is argument, there is how you call it, conflict in views and opinion. When
That
you
one
don't
very
have
true.
this mindfulness, awareness, you know, then you will hit out immediately already. It's like machine gun or shooting everywhere, you know. And then already, so you develop the negativity already. You already cause things to happen already, you know.
Yes,
And you
that's what
still not
happened
aware
to the
until later. Then
heedless
you.
living beings. Very true. Yeah, you continue.
Yes, correct. Yes, so this what you sow is the most important part, you know, of the statement you reap what you sow, you know. So if without mental, I mean without the awareness, right? Whatever mental intention, huh, and cetana already happened, you know, you can't even
Correct.
see it, you know, reality.
Yeah,
So
yeah,
if
yeah.
you're oblivious to it, then you
That's why
just very
the
heedless, habitual
heedless
tendency,
really
you just
cannot
your own
understand
ways,
life.
you know.
Yeah, they go to the extent that they even blame other people for what happened in life. That's why they got a lot of argument
Exactly,
with people.
exactly.
They have a lot of conflict with
Yes.
people, situation, and life. Every small thing make them unhappy. Then they create their own suffering and make their life so ugly. Then, like relationship also, like they fail miserably everywhere. They cannot get along with their family members. They cannot get along with their colleague. They cannot get along with their neighbors. Then they cannot get along with friends. And you can witness a lot in life. And there are a lot of people with karmic negativity on a. They are very easily affected, irritable. That's why you start to witness and see all this. Then when you develop the clear understanding, you see the importance of the teaching. Without the teaching, living beings really suffer. So understanding the Dhamma is actually very extensive. Way beyond just to become enlightened, awakened. Of course, that part is very important for most people, but that is not all. That is just the beginning of transforming into a beautiful way of understanding life. Without the Dhamma, when you reflect, when you look back, oh, it's like so dangerous. To be heedless. That's why the Buddha says the heedless eyes is dead. And when you see people's karmic, what they call karmic friction, they look at their life, how they go through life, and all the karmic entanglement, then the karmic consciousness that they have to go through, that make them miserable and full of affliction, suffering, and a lot of a lot of things that go on in life, like no harmony at all, and constantly in conflict, with argument, with fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, that misunderstanding, that word is very powerful. A lot of the misunderstanding come from karmic negativity. So like you see what you try to share with Kayamita is very good. You reap what you sow. Actually what you sow determine your life. So whatever you sow, finally you reap. No? So the reaping part, like you say, there is not much you can do already because the past is already gone. The future has yet to come. So what has been sown moment to moment from the distant past until now, that part is a reality you cannot change. So every moment when you live life, when you saw all the actions, speech and thought, without mindfulness, without the Dhamma understanding, without heedfulness, you cannot do it properly. You cannot do it following the Dhamma way. That's why most people get themselves entangled. Yeah. They create their own karmic negativity and reap their own karmic fruition, which is also equally negative. So all this, the cultivator of the way, as they go through, they will start to see all this, they appreciate life, and really develop the clear understanding of life. And just like we all used to say, for us who have the Dhamma, we see so clearly, you know, the danger of heedlessness, the importance of heedfulness. But normal people cannot understand. They still go about their deluded way, their what they call the way of karmic negativity or based on wrong view. They act stupidity and create all the karmic entanglement of action, speech and thought process through wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action. And the way they experience life is proportionate to how their karmic process ripen. So all this, you will have the ability to understand and see them very clearly. Then as you continue, for you also, which is very beautiful, project, you will continue to evolve this understanding. And later on, you can actually see them very clearly. Then like, you look at life so differently. Yeah. The understanding make you different. Yeah. And when you become different, you look at life completely differently and you live life completely. Then you will know that you have the ability to help others, advise others. But living beings are not easy to teach or to help. Sometimes they feel that they don't need people to help them. They think they are okay, they are fine. What they have been going through is just the patches in life that they still want to blame people. You say, it's not me. It's the world, people, my boss, my so-and-so, and all those things. That's why to understand life, relationship, you need to understand the Dhamma. You need to have the wisdom, the understanding. Very good. You continue, Pujing.
Yeah, right, you know, what you say is very true. You know, the very easy way for them to say is to blame others, you know, and not them. They don't see the problem. They always see, I mean, don't say it's their problem. I mean, to them, it's other people's problem that caused them into this situation, you know, things like that. It's always think out on others, always looking at external causing the problem. I'm okay, I'm good, you know, things like that. So that you know, with this way of thinking, they have the wrong view, the wrong thinking. Correct. And therefore the speech, the action, it's all totally wrong, you know. If the first two path factors is wrong, everything that follows
is wrong.
Yeah, it's totally wrong. So I felt that this statement, you reap what you sow, this part is very important to get it right with the right view and the right thought.
Correct.
These two are the main thing, you know, because they cannot get this part right, therefore subsequent things fall wrong.
Everything will fall apart.
And they don't see it.
It's just like when you want to go somewhere. If you deviate a bit from the beginning, you will get lost and you cannot reach your destiny. That's why deviating is a very dangerous thing. When it comes to cultivation, you have to be on the right path. That's why in the teaching is taught by the Buddha, path and non-path. You must be able to see them. Path lead to understanding, wisdom, harmony, peace, all this. Non-path lead to psychic and all those negativity, egoic and all those things. So that is how we actually develop our own understanding of how to share all this and teach, cultivate all the way who need to have the understanding to avoid all this. So understanding the cultivation is not easy. That's why just now when I started, I say you must have a teacher or a guide or somebody who can really explain to you the whole teaching, then guide you along very well. If you don't have all this understanding, it's not easy. Like now you start to develop all this understanding. That's why you start to see all this. Whereas normal cultivator of the way, they got no time for all this. To them is they are too keen to become enlightened. They just want to know the shortcut. Then they try to try this, try that, strive here, strive. But without the proper clear understanding, the big picture understanding, they can't. The progress is very slow. And most of them are entangled with thought-based Dhamma. Then, apart from thought-based Dhamma, they are entangled with all the non-authentic Dhamma, which are subject to a lot of interpretation. And through commentaries, and also all the printed media. When you don't have the clear understanding, the Dhamma that come out of it will debate. That's why without self-awakening, self-realization, you cannot teach this teaching. Without the realization of the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature, you cannot develop the actual wisdom to awaken and to share and teach. It's not easy. Very good. Wo-Cheng, you continue here.
Yes, yes. But you're talking about this, right? Later, I want to share what happened to me at Brother Teo's house on the 30th of October. But before that, Brother Teo, I want to talk a little bit about this law of karma. You see, I don't have, in the beginning, this law of karma is very complicated for me, and I don't have psychic powers to see past life. But then, Brother Teo, the sign that I see in the past, I just want to relate it to that, to kind of like explain this law of karma. I don't have to believe it at that time when I was still new in my cultivation, you know, I just have to have an open mind, okay?
This law
of karma, you know? And then when I see the sign of radio, when you see, I mean, firstly, we have been in this samsara for ages, you know, how do I know this? Because when all these ends come to my house, Radio, I remember I talked to you.
You mentioned it before.
So all this end comes to me, and obviously as a new cultivator, then I try to not harm them, you know, I just want to chase them away. And then it never go away. I try other methods, and then it doesn't work. Then the next day, so this ant has been coming in, you know, it's like an army of ants marching into my house from outside.
Oh, okay.
And then, I mean, there are questions that is not answered. I mean, I don't have to know the answer anyway. Where ants come from and where are they hiding in my house? You know, so many of them 24 hours overnight. My house is full of ants, isn't it, Brother Teo, you know? Where are they hiding, you know? I mean, all these questions are not answered, but it's not important, you know. But what is important is this law of karma. You have been in this samsara for ages, time immemorial, you know, and you have so many relatives coming to you. Ask for marriage. They once married, you know, brother. At that time, I still don't know. When I do all sort of things, and then finally, I realized that they are here for marriage. So I just dedicate all the marriage from the Kachina to them, right? And after that, all disappear. I don't even need to do anything.
When you have the understanding, all this, you can develop the what they call clear sign to see.
Yes.
Because your nature sometimes will manifest the understanding for you to understand. Then you do. Then after you do, you witness it. No, they are gone. No. Then you know already. It's meant to be. That is the reason why they are here. And there are many things in life that when you are mindful, aware, observant, you can develop the understanding. Like you say, the sign. Understanding karma is to understand the sign that manifests. So like in the early year, maybe I share this again. I remember as I cultivate, the sign keep on coming on. Once I see the sign, not to say bad thing or no. These are the signs that, because normally my life, everything is like smooth sailing or nothing. But then sometimes for no reason, the sign keep on coming, like msona in Cantonese, they say. Like your life is slightly like, and not everything is smooth sailing anymore. Like small thing happened to you. Like last time I told you before, my tire, new car, no? Within a month, three of the tire, or separate tire, new tire, one by one take turn to puncture, or the air gone, no? Or break by the nail or what, no? Never happened to me before. Then the sign come. Then later on also like people used to say like bad luck, not really bad luck, like something not smooth, you know. Then immediately at that time, I already knew one. I have to ask for forgiveness from inside. Then I do that. Then after that time, very strange, you know, when I was still in the uni and after I came out to work, I will know how to like want to try to do something wholesome, you know, like donation or what. So at that time, I seldom have the opportunity to go to the temple to do all those donations. What I do is I look at the newspaper, especially the Star newspaper, or sometimes my wife look at the Chinese newspaper. Where people need help, then I will donate. At that time, money was very big. So I normally donate 100 something or 200 something. Then sometimes I donate 500 to, especially those who have to go to operation or what. Then I realized, after I make the offering and donation, then I developed the what they call joy to share merit, transfer merit. Of course, initially it's asking for forgiveness. Then I invoke power of merits for turnaround. So may my this karmic negativity, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mine have entangled with, be amicably resolved and all those things. Then I realize every time I do that, the situation return to normal. No? I no more have those like not smooth life situation anymore. No? Even minor one also don't have anymore. Then everything returned to normal. Then I realized every time you got all this, if you do a donation or what, it's like much better than nature's way of coming back to cause you to do all the repair to your tire bursting, puncturing, all those things. You also need to expend money, you know. Then sometimes like you, while driving, you know, in the early days when you just got your driving license, then you buy your new car, sometimes you tend to like entangle yourself with minor accident with people. Sometimes if people bang you or you bang people, and you know it's not normal. Then straight away I knew already, these are the karmic debt that you need to expend. So I resolve it amicably, then I pay, willingly pay. Then of course developing the Noble Eightfold Path factors to communicate and all those things. So as I go through the cultivation, I go through the life, I develop all this understanding from my own know, from my own past. That's why seeing sign, like you mentioned, is very good. I saw the sign, then I know how to act. And what I did in the initial day is just this very basic thing, asking for forgiveness, then do donation, then invoke power of marriage for turnaround. And it works. That's why later on, as I develop my cultivation, then when I connect, when I inherit back, then I realize why I know how to do this. Well, I have done it in the past. That's why after that, I share with you a lot of the understanding that I never learned this life. The three things to turn a situation around. Asking for forgiveness. Then after that, determine not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha. Means starting the cultivation. Then as you develop this way of living life, you change your life. You change your karmic pattern for the better. Then through this merits that you accumulate through your cultivation and perfection, you can invoke power of merits to help yourself, help others, and help people to turn around. Then I realize all these are very useful, very powerful. That's why after that I use it to help many people. Especially after the year 2004, when I was officially invited by Yuan Chan to come out to the world to share my understanding. During that, now it's already 20 years, during that period, I helped so many people. With first number two reality problem. So this brings about the condition for Kayamita to evolve all this understanding. That's why what you share today is very good, Bhuti. So that as cultivator, you develop more and more this style of understanding, then it prepare you all as cultivator all the way to see the big picture of the whole cultivation. And how not only developing your own awakening enlightenment, but the process involved, how you go through and how you develop all this understanding and perfection, then how you inherit from your past, how you learn from your teachers, your guide, then how to use this to help others. This is how you progress along the Bodhisattva way, the path of Dhamma, to have the wisdom and understanding to do all this. Okay, very good. So you can continue, Bhuti.
Yes, thank you, Brother. Yes, because of the path that I have gone through, right, precisely like what Brother Teo said, right? So I can see the overall picture from here, you know, that I look back, oh, this is what happened, these are this and that, 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 you know. So I can link all this process to the law of karma, to you read what you sow, you know, the cause and effect, the mental intention, without the awareness, mindfulness, they just hit out, you know, or left, right, they get entangled, you know, and they still do not know they are
very
in this
true.
Entanglement, you know, is leading to something in this samsara. And you have been in this samsara for many, many, how you call that, memorial, you know, because I see my past relative all come. How do I have this past relative? So many of them, you know.
Yes,
I mean, it must
true.
Be. I have been in this samsara for ages, you know, here, you know.
Yeah,
otherwise,
yeah.
It cannot be like so many, right? You know,
even
though I don't have the clear answer that how many of them, it's not important, you know. Although the answer not the question not answer is not important, but you get to believe the law of karma, and you have been
Yeah.
in samsara for donkey years, not donkey years, time immemorial, that will be precisely,
That's how
how that will
cultivator
happen.
understand them. Where you witness and you see, then you saw what happened. Then from what you saw, you reflect, you contemplate, then you link up all the things. That's why you will have unshakable faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Because this teaching is so wonderful,
Yes,
so
yes.
beautiful and
Yes.
amazing, amazing.
Yes, yes.
It is a
And then you
fantastic
see
teaching.
Virgil talk about paying back the coming debts. Paying back the coming debt is so beautiful, because you see, when I'm able to have this awareness, right, I'm able to see the coming debt me, I don't need to know what was the past karma that I did so
No need one.
badly
You
that I have this coming debt.
know the immediate thing that you need to do is to resolve it.
Yes,
To
yes,
end it.
Yes, yes. So I think the awareness is so important that I can protect
That one
myself
is
from the
most
suffering.
important prerequisite for
Yes,
cultivation.
yes, yes. So by having that, right, I can see, I have the awareness to see in the true mind, to see in the true mind, you
Sadhu.
do not suffer, but you are aware of all the things that happen to you. I mean, how you fall into this karmic friction, and breath pure. I mean, I now I want to share the detail of it, what happened, because
Sadhu.
in the past I also find that if I say this, people paramita will be shaken, wow, got such thing, man, that kind of thing, that kind of thing. But I want to share this that I find it so amazing, in the sense that I think the karmita is how you call that, the time has come, that they have a lot more understanding, so they able to accept what they, at least
What
have an
happened?
open mind to accept
In fact, most
what
karmapita
happened.
can
So
accept what happened, and they really develop the good understanding to endure and actually overcome them. Many of them. And they become
yes.
beautiful
So,
after.
brother, this one happened last year, 2023, when I was hit by this karmic friction, right? Part of my body is thing, brother. I told you, my body is no longer the same. I keep saying that my body is no longer the same, but I didn't give you the detail. But that part of my body, is missing, brother. That's why I cannot do the daily chores, brother. I mean, awareness able to see part of my body is missing. And then my nature also able to prompt me what to do, brother. The amazing part
Sadhu, that's very
is
good.
the amazing part is able to tell you what to do. That's why I always tell brother, I do not suffer, although I was hit by karmic
Yeah,
friction, I do not
that's
suffer.
what a
I'm able to
cultivator who
see what
has
is
the
going on.
Dhamma
And
will have the ability. Correct, yes.
yes, because of the awareness, that
Yeah, the
I'm nothing
awareness
else,
itself.
it's the awareness. What happened? So I couldn't do my daily chores, and my body, is missing, Brazil. So I'm able to walk, but it's very awkward. I know something is wrong, Brazil. And I know that I have to get back to normal again, The only way is through the awareness to see it coming and going, That's why I always tell Brazil, I need to see it rising and passing, then I know. You see, this awareness tell me, and my awareness need to tell me, I have to see, witness it. When I witness it, all things will, I call that, reverse itself, right?
Yeah,
Reverse
reverse
itself,
itself and
right?
fall back
Naturally.
into place. Yeah.
Yes, correct, correct. So this is what happened to me. So I was prompted, I tell you, brother, I'm very sure a Bodhisattva, that is the Kuan Yin, that helped me, prompted me, what to
Yeah.
do, said
When
go
you
and
have
meditate
affinity
now.
with them,
Then
they
I like,
can do a lot
now,
of wonders.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, correct, correct. So I straight away go, and I didn't straight away go, I just say, I had not been able to meditate, so I better go and bathe first. So I bathe first to make myself very refreshed. Then I said I will meditate. So I negotiate in that sense, but it prompted me go and meditate, but I negotiate, and then I say I go and take a shower, refresh, and then I go and meditate. And then when I see the arising and passing away, then the whole body recovered by. That's how it happened. So that's why I said, I never suffer,
Very good.
although I was
Yeah.
sick.
Very
Shri
good.
Radio. So this is
Sahaja.
so powerful, you know. That's why I
Yeah,
say
yeah, yeah.
awareness base is so powerful.
Correct, correct.
It's inconceivable, and your faith in the triple gem is unshakable. That's why I always
Yeah,
tell
yeah,
Radio,
yeah.
I
Sadhu.
don't know how Gaya look like this. Archie always say this, unshakable, unshakable, but it's
Yeah,
really
yeah,
unshakable,
yeah.
you know. Once you have this understanding and experience, your faith is truly unshakable, you know. Nothing
Definitely,
can change
yeah.
it, you know. So that's the part I felt when karmic fusion hit you. You don't have to be, I mean, fearful or anything, you know. If you have the awareness-based meditation, things will resolve and reverse by itself, you know.
Yeah,
If you do it
yeah.
correctly, of course, I know with
Correct,
the
yeah.
guidance of Bodhisattva and Mahasattva, they have us, you know, they help you know, to help you. And then the other thing, Bharatiya, I want to share. I have so many things to share, Bharatiya.
Sadhu.
so sorry. Another
No
thing,
problem, no
I
problem.
want to, before I forget, you know, before I forget. You see, Bharatiya always said, this statement, what is the statement? The great beings is ever radiating for the true
Ah,
cultivators of the
yes.
way. But I suddenly had this understanding, deeply, you know, why Brother Theo said it. No, because when I read this sutra, they said, when you see the Dharma, you see the Buddhas, right?
Yeah, yeah,
See,
yeah.
Brother Theo also said, this is Dharma, the physical Buddha, you know, this is the Dharmakaya. So
Yeah,
when
yeah.
in reality, my experience, Brother Theo, I can have that faith, to say this, that the words of the Buddha, is, how do you say, it's a truth line, you know, it's the
Yeah, yeah,
reality
yeah.
line, you know. So when the Buddha, when you see the Dharma, you see the Buddha,
Yeah.
the Buddha, not the Buddha, physical Buddha, but the Dharmakaya, is able to see and recognize the true cultivator of the ways, you
Yeah,
know.
yeah, yeah.
That's why Brother Theo is
Because
ever
of
radiating for true
their
cultivator.
nature's vows, their vows and their understanding. So when you establish affinity with all this great being, their nature respond on very fast on. That's why they are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. And to understand it deeper is, apart from their vow becoming part of nature's law so that they don't have to manifest, is they got a lot of very unique miscellaneous vow that can actually help cultivator of the way and living being. Like my nature, I already in the past make this aspiration or vow to like accept the request for forgiveness from any being within the three period of time, whether past, future, no, sorry, distant past, future, or present. Whenever they make the request, even in the future, then because of my vow to like forgive them all, it vows, then you only need to make the request anytime, even in the future or what, then it neutralize by itself. That's why in that sense is ever radiating for the cultivator. That means to prevent the cultivator from hitting severe karmic obstruction. Because we all know as cultivator of the way, if we go this way, the Bodhisattva way, we have our nature developed. Then they, without knowing who we are, they entangle themselves with our karmic nature or our spiritual nature or that soul karmic process. They can get very severe karmic obstruction. That's why, in fact, all cultivator of the way, after they reach certain point of the understanding, they will have this very special miscellaneous vow to forgive all beings, whether knowingly or unknowingly, in the distant future, past, present, or future, from like committing all this. So once you make that vow, that's why I always say, I already have that vow. The moment you ask for forgiveness or pay your respect, the affinity is there already. Then the forgiveness is like neutralized already. Yeah. So you don't have to worry like every time need to repeat all this or what. Yeah. But it's good practice to like continuously renew all this. But not to the extent that like you do it so often until like you have behind your mind lingering that you may have committed something which you don't know. So that one maybe for some people the mind is still not stable. Sometimes they may have that type of doubt. Then they really want to like make sure everything is correct. That's why after every session, especially our retreat, it's good practice to ask for forgiveness from all. So all these are the understanding that we can develop. So your statement about ever radiating for the cultivator of the way is very true. But that one, I also realize myself. Then my nature also have that type of miscellaneous vow that wants to help people. Like Kuan Yin, whosoever call upon her nature or her four hour, sincerely, only need to be sincere though, then some affinity will be established, then she will manifest to help the cultivator or the being. So all these very unique vow, they can be developed until it becomes part of nature's law. That's why people have faith in Kuan Yin, Amitabha Buddha, is because their vow is very extensive, very powerful. And the response is really, even like my mother, lay people at that time, he have faith in Kuan Yin. And really, in time of need, that Kuan Yin's nature manifests and help her. I told you all about that car accident. He banged her and he flew up. He was in the Alostar town. We also didn't know until the shop owner or they saw the loud accident, the bang, then they panic. They came out and see that somebody quite kind decided to take out the armchair and a few of them carry my mom to lie down there and rest. Then they ventilate her until she woke up from the, you call it what, a blackout like that. After the accident, he blacked out. Then when she came back to consciousness, when she came back to consciousness after about maybe half an hour or so, then only she realized there were blood on the head, but she okay. Then that time she was young, not her problem. But she came back, she told us, then we all were very happy and very grateful. That's why there are good people. And he told me that he said the first thing he noticed was the jake. The jake she wear on her hand. That one broke. And because of that, nothing happened to him, he said. Then for what I know is her faith in Kuan Yin very strong. And because of that, when young, I saw her going through all this. Then I follow her. She very close to me, my mom. Then later on, as I grew up, I reflected back. Why when I follow her to the temple, I cannot pay respect to all those dainties and all those things. I can only pay respect to Kuan Yin, the four great beings, the Buddha, and all the so-called great beings. And all this, very natural, you know. I no need to be prompted by my mother or what. And when I see my nature can feel that, I go and pay my respect on my own. And all those, the Hindi and all those, the sun and all those things, I don't know why I cannot. Then later on, when I grew up, as I developed my cultivation, then I start to develop the understanding. It has a lot to do with our past. That's why cultivation is very beautiful, very unique. And this topic which you bring out is very useful, yes? It can help many cultivators to develop their own understanding. Good, Pocheng, continue.
Yes. Thank you, Radio and Sadhu, for and for all the additional sharing to reinforce the deeper understanding of the cultivation and the rating of the true cultivators of the way. I mean, I find that it's like so wonderful to have the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and all and Mahasattvas our cultivation, otherwise we can be quite lost at times, I mean, it has
and
right
not easy
timing, the right thing to do,
correct.
So
not
you
easy
have
to find a way, but this way is very unique,
yes,
very difficult,
correct.
And like I
I
said,
mean,
you request for their guidance, blessing and affinity, so this one is very important, guidance. They will really guide you or not. Like the
yes,
message I receive from them. Of course, there are other type of message, but guidance like Kuan Yin or 1986. Well, they really come and guide you or not. Then when you are in the midst of cultivation, the teacher will come, the book will come, whatever you need will come on. And everything will fall into place. Then the understanding keep all on unfolding. That's why all this protection, the other one is protection. Blessing, guiding and protection. Of course affinity is also important. But whatever you do, establish affinity already. That's why you must request for their blessing, protection and guidance. Guidance is very important. Protection is for the form and mind. Blessing is to bless your form and mind, your whatever nature. Then all this, I realize, help a lot. That's why from the past, when I connect in 89, when all this understanding came back to me, I knew I can share all this and capable of developing all this understanding for cultivator of the way. That's why in the year 2008, Maitreya's nature came and requested my nature to come out to share all this true Dhamma understanding. And that's how everything come to be and manifested. So when it's meant to be, it will unfold. That's why now you look back the last 20 years, not only a lot of things happened, the website, everything, and the sharing, which is so unique, and so many Kayamita benefited, and going forward, a lot more will benefit. Very good, Sadhu, watching, You can
yes.
Continue.
Finally, I want to talk about the day when I visited Bradfield on the 30th of October, prior to the 20th
yes.
Tri-Sacred celebration.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was with my sister at Bradfield's house, right? Then Bradfield started.
You all came that
Dhamma
day, where
yes.
that one day earlier, Then
yes,
the Singaporean also came,
No, the Singaporean. Brother Kwa is from Penang.
Oh, sorry. Brother Kwa is from Penang, not the Singapore. Singaporean, they attended the thing. Brother Kwa came,
Yes. So Brother, you did the essential Dharma sharing, So I also had some question to help my
Your
sister,
sister
in the pointers, to let her to kind of poke, to pay, I mean, to give her the pointers of what Brad was sharing, and then I also requested you to do more sharing on this and that, so to help,
that session helped your sister
then
a lot.
Brad, Yes. Yeah. So Brother Teo, when you see Brother Teo keep sharing, right? And after that, huh, the interesting part was when Brother Teo talk about the development of the insight into the anicca, dukkha, and
The
anatta, right?
three
And then
universal
Brother Teo,
characteristics.
and then Brother Teo, and then you know what, Brother Teo, you started pointing your fingers, the truth is everywhere and all the kind of thing, Brother Teo. And then when Brother Teo said that, and then when Brother Teo said it, something happened to me.
What
I went into
are
stillness, tranquility, you know. So at that time, the mundane mind ceased, you know. I
What
cannot hear Brother
sadhu?
Teo talking already, stop already, totally stop. No
Sadhu,
more
sadhu.
sound from Brother Teo already, you know.
Yeah,
So
yeah,
I
yeah.
went into that, the stillness, the tranquility. So
Sadhu.
I just was inside there. I don't know how long it is. But then when I was coming out from it, not long after I come out, I saw my body. I'm aware of my body. I saw my body. Then it said time to come out already, you know. So I come out from the stillness, the tranquility,
Yeah,
right?
yeah,
Okay.
yeah, yeah.
And then Brother Teo show us album, you know, show us the album, and you know, all the album from the spiritual trip, you know, things like that. And then I had so much joy looking at it and all things like
Yeah, yeah,
that.
yeah.
So I
Their
just know
past year
I
spiritual
had this
trip album,
encounter.
yeah.
Yes. So you show us that, and I find it, wow, so nice, you know. Then I
Yeah,
say I
yeah.
will
There was a
want to
lot
go
of
and
inspiration for people.
yes,
Because
yes.
those
So
were
it was.
so nicely documented, and our spiritual trip, they are all like that one, oh, fantastic. Wow. What you see in the album is only one aspect of it, but what happened there is a lot more thing. That's why the camera or the video or whatever that has been recorded, they cannot explain the whole thing. Well, what happened there during the trip is so fantastic. But what is important about the album is it gives you the reminiscence, means you can recollect and recall about that trip. That's why I told Kayamita, later on as you all grow old, when you go through all these photos, they are very meaningful. I don't know whether you all got this Google Photos or not. I happen to have them in the early days, and this Google Photo keep on accumulating all the my trip. They just like auto one, no? Then they have it in the date form and the sequence. Then all my spiritual trip, all the photos, I can see them at any one time, one, no? And they are so beautiful. Off and on, I used to own it and see it. Then I share with my wife, my daughter Sui also. And they are so beautiful. Then the album, you go through, yeah, you can recall a lot of things, the recollection. Then the joy, the affinity and all those things. Then you can start to understand how in the past, if we all as Kayamita can also have affinity like that. Means in the past, you all, a lot of Kayamita, might have affinity with other great beings in a similar way. That's why all this, you reflect back what happened this life. You may feel that you are very blessed, very lucky, or what to have encountered not only me, but Kayamita. But this is a sasana, that's why I told you. During this golden window, the sasana, a lot of things can happen. So when it happens, it will unfold and it will create a lot of causes and conditions for future. That's why what you witness now is a reflection of what has happened in the past. Not only this, in the past there are many of the Kayamita with other great beings. You could have gone through many of these similar cultivation and encounters. Then like the Dhamma song that Brother Teo and Pramasuri prepare for us to sing. 陪你到天涯， 树连根呢，together，师徒，两什么？I forgot already，means the teacher and the student，they walk the path together，they roam the universe，that one is very meaningful，so all these are very meaningful，then when you really experience them, then with the video and the website, and also during the gathering of Kayamita, the 20th anniversary, all this stand out and become very beautiful, very meaningful. That's why a lot of Kayamita have a lot of joy that day, the gathering of Kayamita, that 31st. They say every minute of it, no? I think Silun describe it. Yeah, I enjoy every minute and every moment of it, which is very true. In fact, my nature also rejoice. Then the sharing like this time around can go in very fast. So many Kayavita can receive and develop the understanding. Very good.
Yeah,
Poche, okay, you can
because of this
summarize.
spiritual trips, the one that I saw, right? So I kind of like feel the joy and the beautiful affinity develop. So I kind of like if there's condition, of course I like to visit those places myself lah, you know. And then I also kind of share with Brother BF and Brother KC that Brother Theo, you also mentioned yourself you wanted to next year like going to Qinghai, you know, spiritual
Qing
trip.
Dao,
Then they are so keen, you know, Brother Theo, they are so keen. They keep, I mean, he messaged me lah when is the trip. I said I don't
Yeah,
know
I
yet.
need to liaise with that I think I need to get Mama Sri to get him. But now he's very busy. We have to wait till after Chinese New Year. Then only we firm up the date.
Yeah, very keen of radio. So anyway, I
Tian, a
said,
lot of Kayamita also told me that. In fact,
okay,
after
so
the 31st one, then I think they saw the photo. Then one of the Kayamita called me, contacted me. Then he said, Pretty, wow, I should have been there, he said, because he was tied up with something, he couldn't make it. Then he said, Pretty, any more spiritual trio? So I told him, we will let him know.
yeah, gradual. Maybe have a yearly spiritual trip and also that we make full use of our time to develop a lot
In the
of
early
things, you
day, we
know.
used to have at least one or two trip a year. One or two trip a year. So we already planned. So this year is already opening up. I think most of us are traveling. Then we also have our spiritual trip this year, which is over already. Then I have my own private trip. Then this coming, I think next month, I going for a short trip, going to Hainan Dao, a very long time colleague, 30 over years ago, when I started working, we all same family with the same two children, same age, close family member. We going to Hainan Island for 4 or 5 days, 5 days. Then after that, next year, maybe I'm going to also private trip like this, nothing to do with Kalimantan, the spiritual trip to somewhere in Europe. Then after that, I think we will plan our Qingdao one. So Qingdao one should be interesting. So I will come back to you all, don't worry. Okay, you can summarize, Bojeng, because
Yeah,
the
thank you, Brother
alarm
Masadu, that we will have spiritual
went
trip for us next year.
Can,
And
can.
I also our own spiritual trip, you know. Sister Andy and I will be going to Er Mei Fan also next year.
Oh,
We
sadhu.
plan for that as well. Yeah,
Sadhu.
then I also have my own spiritual trip, with my husband. Yeah, so I want to pull him along. Yeah, so to develop the affinity so that he can start, you know, earlier, right? So I also like him to start earlier, right? So so that is my plan for next year, right? So thank you very much
no problem
for all
let us
the,
rejoice,
you know, teaching in Dharma that Brad given us
sadhu. Okay, let us share merit, transfer merit, then we will end. Akasata cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa jirang rakan tu loka sasada etta wata cha mehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha Vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.